Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver, and I am very happy to sit with you in meditation. We're going to sit together for 10 minutes, and we're going to start soon. So please take your seat and get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you, or in the equally spiritual chair. And if you do sit in a chair, please sit with your feet flat on the floor, unless that is uncomfortable, and then don't do it. Just sit comfortably. I want to continue the conversation before we sit about dealing with strong emotions and how our meditation practice can help. 2 weeks ago, we talked about maybe the most difficult of difficult emotions, at least it is for me, anger, and how we might deal with our own anger. I'm not saying anger is wrong. There are definitely things to be angry about, but more often than not, it is used to increase the problem. When it's used, it increases problems. Anyway, last week we talked about attachment or clinging and how our meditation practice can help with that and the importance of examining clinging and attachment and so on. And spoiler alert, the upshot was don't get too attached to non-attachment. There's a much more spacious way to work with it all. And today we're going to talk about, I guess I'm going to call it shame. The emotion of shame, of feeling less than, of looking at others and feeling inadequate. This is a different kind of pandemic, I would say. Maybe because of social media, I don't know, but some sense that I am not living up to what I should be. Others are passing me. I feel ashamed of who I am. This is probably blah, blah. This is probably what I deserve, so forth and so on. I'm sure I don't have to explain it. So in the Buddhist view, there are three ways to work with strong emotions, and they're all good, but each is not appropriate in every situation. So you got a little menu here of things to choose from. And then we'll apply it to shame in a moment because these are general ways to work with strong feelings. The first way says, you know what? Anger, grasping, attachment, those are afflictive. They cause harm to yourself and others. So try not to feel those things, or try to work with those things and resolve them, or try to pacify them. Try, in other words, in some way, to have them be gone, which would be fantastic, which would be great. Pacify. Now, if you can do that, that's great. That's the best, you could say. But it's often impossible to do that. And there's just no way. So now what? Say you're, whatever your difficult situation is, you can't bear it anymore. You tried pacifying and that's not working. So instead, you could start to look at what you are experiencing as a bridge to compassion for others who are or will experience what you are feeling right now. So instead of trying to make it go away, feel it, examine it, learn from it, try to understand it. It's not fun, I will give you that. But when you meet someone in the future who is suffering as you suffer now with whatever your strong and unbearable feeling is, you will be able to help them. And that's not a small thing. So second view, bridge of compassion. So that sort of reminds me of a story. And then I'll go to the third way of working with strong emotions and how this all works with shame. Although this story is so great, it might just, you know, case closed type situation once you hear it. So this, many years ago, 15, let's say, I was in New York City doing something, I have no idea what, and staying with a friend. She had another house guest in addition to myself, a Tibetan translator who was arriving from India the day I got there as well, and was going to work with a great teacher to translate his talks that he was giving in New York City. He was flying from India, where he lived. So he got to the house, And he explained to us that when he left the airport and took the bus to Port Authority, walked out of Port Authority to get a bus or a cab or I don't know what. And by the time he left Port Authority, everything he had was gone. He had been pickpocketed. All his money, his passport, and his ticket home. Just gone. So to be a translator of this magnitude, it's not just a matter of knowing both languages. It's a matter of having insight into the view that one is translating. So he, in other words, was also a great practitioner. So I was wondering, well, how is a great practitioner going to deal with this? I mean, this is a really difficult situation. So I asked him, but he seemed in good cheer. So I asked him, weren't you mad? Weren't you upset? Weren't you like, oh man, I should have protected him? Weren't you shaming yourself? I don't remember how I said it, but something like that. And he said, yeah, at first I felt all of those things, but then I offered it. So that has been a life lesson for me. Then I offered it. So what that means in this sense, I presume, is you can take whatever you feel, the painful, horrible, destructive, icky things, and have a sense of offering them so that somehow, and we don't have to know how, luckily, your experience can be used to benefit others. And we don't know how. So you offer it. You click in with what you're feeling, the difficult emotion, and you're like, I hate this. I hate me. I hate everything. This is awful. How do I get out of it? Well, that just shrinks the inner space more and more until you really feel trapped. So instead of, or along with doing that, you could say, the shame that I'm feeling at not living up to whatever it is I think I should be, I offer it so that somehow it can benefit others. And again, it's very important to say again, you don't have to know how. Because when I think, well, how could my experience of shame help others? There's probably no way. Then I abandon the exercise. But when I think, you know what, life is mysterious, I have no idea what might come of my offering. But I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to offer my experience so that it can be a benefit. And to make an offering is a gesture of empowerment. And usually, when we're trapped by shame or other strong emotions, of course, we feel extremely disempowered. So, my Tibetan translator friend took what was thievery and turned it into a gift. You didn't take this from me, I gave it to you. So that may have been a little mental sleight of hand, but how much better does it feel to think, I gave it to you. It was a gift from me to you, than you robbed me. Better. You still got to replace your passport and all that stuff, but there's some sense of, I offer this. It's a gift for someone. That's a beautiful thing. Third way is to look at strong emotions. You can't pacify them for whatever reason. They're a bridge of compassion. Okay, great. But I'm still under the weight of this sorrow. Third way says, look in the sorrow or rage, whatever it might be. Walk into it. Open up to it. Instead of trying to box it out or give it a purpose, which is a also, a kind of a way of boxing it out. You expand your inner space in whatever way makes sense, given your imagination, to include this difficulty. Okay, let's say I feel ashamed. I feel that a lot. I'm constantly comparing myself to others and going, blah, 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 whatever. I'm not making fun of myself, but it really hurts. And I can't seem to stop. I mean, I'm not as swallowed up by it as I was when I was young, but I still notice it, and I don't love it. I could say, okay, shame. What is that? Where are you? You're not floating out here somewhere. You're inside of me. I feel it as a kind of heat and a hunching, like my head pulling in to my shell like a turtle. that doesn't feel good. I feel something happening to me physically that I then label as the feeling of shame. So I could say, okay, got a big table here. Shame, you sit over there. Gratitude, you sit over there. Boredom, you got a seat too. Inspiration, you're part of my world. Loving heart, sit at the head of the table. But there's this sense of it's all in there together. It's all in there together. And to expand, to include, is also a gesture of empowerment, as opposed to poverty. I don't have what I need. I have this giant weight that I can't remove. And you just feel more and more backed into a corner. And again, this inner space shrinks and shrinks. This way is like, everybody come on in. Everybody come on in. And in addition, everybody has something to say. You could even experiment sometime with having a little, imaginary dinner party with your friends, shame and joy and boredom and inspiration. And what do they have to say? What would they say if you said, what's up with you? Not get out or you stay, never leave, but what's up with you? It's an interesting journaling exercise to have a conversation with your difficult emotions. In fact, it forms the basis of a very old Tibetan practice called Chöd, C-H-O-D. Tsultrum Alioni, a wonderful Western teacher, wrote a book called Feeding Your Demons. And it is an investigation of this process of dialoguing with what terrifies you or angers you, as a way of liberating both yourself and the feeling. And when you open up a dialogue, it's much more likely that your afflictive feeling will pacify on its own, that you will learn from it so you can bring greater benefit to the eyes of other, lives of others, and you will transform it into a source of wisdom. So, just some thoughts. Okay, we're going to practice in a second, but I also want to note that this series, and next week we're going to talk about envy, difficult emotion. First was anger, then was grasping, now is shame. These are sort of mirroring the journeys of each of the 9 Enneagram types. And if you've never heard of the Enneagram, don't worry about it. But I just finished writing a book about it. It'll be out in September. And the premise is that this system that defines 9 kinds of people, which you do not have to be interested in, although I really am, describes 9 ways to liberation. So I look forward to sharing it with you. And now let's sit. Begin by establishing your posture, which means to sit up straight, but also relaxed, not rigid. The hands rest on the legs, palms down, just above the knee, mid-thigh, somewhere that feels comfortable, that allows the hands to rest. Let the front body soften, the belly, the chest, the throat, and let the shoulders relax. The breath is natural in and out through the nose. No breathing technique, in other words, just breathing. And the eyes are open and the gaze is cast down to a comfortable spot in front. And we sit with our eyes open because we're practicing being awake. This is where we can work with what is most profound, right here. So the eyes are open, the gaze is soft and cast down, and let the eyes really relax and receive. And let the brow relax. Now let your attention come to rest on the breath, which means feel the body breathe rather than observe. We want to feel the inhale, feel the exhale. At the end of the exhale, there's a little gap, and the next inhale just happens. I promise. So you go with that, breathing in and out, feeling, experiencing the breath. Your mind will continue to make thoughts. That's its job. It's no problem, no effort, or no need to stop that. Just let your thoughts be as they are, and you'll see, you'll notice they just come and go. Zero start thoughts stay. They all come and go. So you can just let that happen. They'll come and go without overly distracting you from your breath. However, if you notice that you have become fully distracted by your thoughts, meaning you are no longer aware at all of your breath, good, very good. Notice that. Label it thinking. That's thinking. Let go. Gently come back to this breath and take a fresh start, feeling the body breathe. This is our practice, mindfulness of body, mindfulness of breath, mindfulness of mind. So we'll sit together in silence until you hear the bell. Thank you so much for your practice. Thank you for practicing with me. Thank you for practicing together. I send you much love.